On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you from the Seattle area on KKNW AM 1150. You might be listening on WBLQ AM 1230 in New York, Connecticut, or Rhode Island, or anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, whether it's live or through the archives on Transformation Talk Radio or ChristineUpchurch.com, you will be thrilled you've joined us, because we have somebody on today who is a number one New York Times bestselling author, and he's known as being one of the most influential spiritual teachers of our time. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio, who allows you to hear these wonderful conversations, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hi, Christine. How are you? I miss you deeply, by the way.
I know. We're sort of close but far, yes. I'm out in the island still. And
you little island hopper.
Yes, and it's just gorgeous, and the rhythm of life is different out here. Even though I live in nature, you know, in the Seattle area, it just feels different out here being near the water, and it's a joy to be here. And it's also a joy to be here with you and our guest today, and I'm so excited because we've had Mark Nepo on before. He, as I said before, he's a number one New York Times bestselling author of The Book of Awakening. And I think he's written something like 18 books in 20 different languages. He is known as a poet, teacher, and a consummate storyteller. He has been quoted to say he's an eloquent spiritual teacher. Let's see, Watkins named him as one of the 100 most spiritually influential living people today. And he's also been on Oprah, on her tour, the sold-out tour. He's also been on her Super Soul Sunday many times. He is known as a gift to the world in helping us to find ourselves more deeply. And I'm thrilled to have him here today, Mark Nepo. Welcome, Mark.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It's great to be back with you.
Oh, it's so nice to have you. And you know, Mark, I'm fascinated by something, and I'm hoping you can share some perspective about this. I mean, first of all, I love your books. They're so beautifully written. There's such depth. They're wonderful stories within them. They speak to me. But I'm also amazed that these books that are really about our you know, connecting to our spiritual self more deeply, integrating that into our daily lives. One of your books has been number one on the New York Times bestselling list, which to me indicates that there are a lot of people who are interested in this. What do you think is going on in our world today?
Well, I think that this is, you know, a couple of things come to mind, and thank you, mind and heart. But I think this has always been the case. I don't think that our time is any different than any other time. I think there are, like waves in the ocean, there are swells and recessions where people are living closer to what matters and then farther away and closer. Uh-huh. That happens in our individual lives, but it also happens culturally. And so I think, you know, everybody wants to be as alive as possible. Uh-huh. No one wants to be shaped by their fear or their worry, or, you know, and I think, I mean, to speak for a minute about what's going on in our world, which is at once wonderful and terrible. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much violence and explosions, both not just, you know, physical explosions, but I mean psychic and inner explosions.
Right.
And so, you know, it really touches me that, Charles Dickens, in his, you know, famous book, A Tale of Two Cities, the first sentence is, it was the best of times and the worst of times. And while it's a great novel, we could stop right there. Because every single age, every single day, is the best of times and the worst of times. And part of the challenge and glory of being human is, which is it going to be today? And you know, just to speak for a minute about all of these mass shootings, and, you know, I live in Michigan, in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and during the last year, we had one here, you know, just a mile from where we live. And
oh, my goodness.
It's just, you know, it's just astonishing and terrifying. And what I've come to feel and understand is, you know, while every one of these people that finds themselves doing such harm is responsible for their own actions.
Right.
At the same time, we can't just say, oh, they're crazy, this has nothing to do with us. And what I've come to understand and is, you know, in the body, an aneurysm is a weak cell that basically explodes in a pressurized body. And I started to think of these tortured people who do such harm as social aneurysm.
Right. I love that analogy.
And you know, and so what is that? Again, they're responsible for their own decisions, but they are weakened cells. And we have to ask the rest of us, what if we look at society as a body, as a social body, we look at our culture as a cultural body, well, what kind of pressures, what kind of pressurized system have we created that we're having an epidemic of social aneurysms exploding left and right?
Right, right. And it is an epidemic because it's not just like one or two, you know, it's happening over and over and over again.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that also that violence is the last attempt to feel. And so when we are removed or alienated or inhibited or repressed to the point, the need to feel never goes away, no matter how we suppress it. And so, you know, this explosiveness really is a desperate attempt to feel, and of course it does great harm.
Right. And it's interesting that you say that, Mark, because I think that there are many teachings within the spiritual realm, the conscious movement, that have talked about sort of transcending feelings, but you're talking about sort of like the importance of feeling and how it can get very extreme.
Well, yeah, I feel, you know, and again, I don't have any answers, and we're just comparing notes. Everybody's guessing it, you know. And I don't, you know, from my time on Earth, I don't relate to transcending feelings. I feel that the life of feelings is the very heart blood to spirit, and it's through the life of feelings, as messy and magnificent and complicated as it is, that we experience spirit and oneness. We can't bypass it. That's just not been my experience on Earth.
Yeah. Mine too. And,
So it's very, I don't think we're very skilled at how to inhabit the life of feeling. And, you know, it's interesting, I think, as I get older, I experience more than one feeling at the same time. I think the deeper we go, the harder it is to delineate. I mean, I can be happy and sad at the same time. I can be clear and confused at the same time.
Yeah, so, you know, I agree. Yeah.
I think that, Go ahead.
So your latest book is called The One Life We're Given, Finding the Wisdom That Waits in Your Heart. What do you mean by waiting in the heart? Why is that wisdom waiting there?
Well, I think that, it's funny because I had a friend who, as I was finishing this book, said, well, what, if the wisdom's already in our heart, like, why do we have to find it?
Right.
And for me, I feel that wisdom is dormant in our heart until we have the courage to hold nothing back, be present, and engage in the life of relationship. And so very much, in the beginning of the book, I used this metaphor that, like a wooden match that you would use to light a fire or a stove, we all know that the flame is dormant in the tip of that match, but it doesn't reveal itself until it strikes against the surface.
Right.
And likewise, our gift and our wisdom is dormant in our heart until we strike our gifts against the needs of the world. Mm-hmm. And then the warmth and light of our gift ignites.
Yeah. We have to go to a quick break, but more with number one New York Times bestselling author Mark Nepo here in a few moments.
What is a brilliant culture? And how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you design a culture that is authentic, innovative, and successful. Learn how to create change with Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence, and Claudette Rowley. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit ClaudetteRowley.com.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. As a former research statistician, my scientific background is what many would call sensible. For more than a decade now, I have been working in the field of energy medicine, facilitating sessions and teaching around the world. People from the mainstream often ask me, how did a sensible woman like you end up working in such an alternative field? Implicit in their question is the underlying assumption that the field of subtle energy, such as energy healing and intuition, isn't sensible. But I believe it is very sensible. Even scientists are able to measure aspects of this. Approaching life from an energetic perspective brings us new opportunity for healing and transformation. And from a practical standpoint, even if you can't rationally explain how something works, if you experience a shift from it, then doesn't it make it pretty sensible? please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
While I watched you paint a tree, one leaf at a time, every pretty color in the world was raining down and lighting in your eyes, and I saw you.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, and Transformation Talk Radio. You know, Mark, before the break, you were talking about something that I have found rather fascinating in my own life, and that is when we feel not only like a couple of different emotions at once, but sometimes opposite emotions. What's going on there, and why is it important for us to sort of become aware and acknowledge both feelings?
Yeah, well, you know, I've really found in from my own experience that, you know, all of us are taught early on to sort feelings and to sort things that come at us and prioritize and then choose in order to problem solve. And that's a great skill of the mind to be able to negotiate the world of circumstance, but it's mm-hmm. not a code to live by.
Right.
And what I've learned as I've gone through life is that all the things that matter, the deep things that happen to us are actually asking us to learn the opposite, to not sort and choose, but to let everything in, to absorb and integrate, because when we let the heart absorb and integrate without choosing, then it releases a logic of the spirit, and we're brought into the world of paradox, and we're brought in you know, one way to understand paradox is that it's any moment where more than one thing is true at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And the mind can't solve paradox. The heart can only hold it. And then we grow.
Uh-huh.
And this is why I think that, you know, often great love and great suffering are what throw us into the depth of feeling, the depth of our heart, where we meet everyone else, where that moment where everything touches everything else,
mm-hmm.
and it's not definable, but it transforms us. And, you know, I can share a real great teaching moment for me is, you know, in this book, I refer to my father a lot, who died
right.
3 years ago at the age of 93. And in the last year of his life, he had a slow avalanche to his death. He was in several hospitals and rehabilitation centers. And finally, thanks mm-hmm. to my brother, he was able to die at home. But
but I
was with him during this journey, and I had a long time with him when I would be able to visit. And I'm sure a lot of people have been in this situation, but one day there I was, he was in bed, frail, and I was feeding him applesauce.
Uh-huh.
And it was such a sad, beautiful, bittersweet moment. And, I, you know, for me, all of a sudden, my heart was just like all of life was in the spoon.
Mm.
I was like so committed to, like, that was all of a sudden our practice. I wanted to put that spoon in his mouth so carefully and gently and lovingly that it wouldn't disturb his breathing, and it wouldn't, like, scrape on his teeth. And there we were in this rhythm of doing this. And I was both happy and sad.
Mm-hmm.
It was a moment of his dying and of suffering. And yet at the same time, because, and this ties in what we were saying earlier before about leaning into the life of feeling, because I was so, through my love for him, willing to give myself completely to that moment and the feeling of it, all of a sudden, unexpectedly, we were in a moment of wonder.
Mm.
We were in a moment of wonder. And if you imagine like a raindrop hitting a lake, and then it ripples in all directions, but the spot where the drop lands, there's a little momentary dot of clarity. And I felt like we were in that moment. And then to my surprise, and this has been a great teacher for me, then to my surprise, because I had inhabited what I was given to the bottom of my ability to feel, I fell into the well of all feeling, and now I was in the moment, briefly, of every child who ever fed a dying parent.
Right.
And I wasn't alone. And I think, I'm coming to think, that that moment where we inhabit what we feel so completely that we trip into the well of all feeling, that is where resilience lives.
Interesting. And, you know, I think that the grief that we feel as somebody is dying, the grief that we feel after somebody has passed, is it's really illuminating about the depth of our love. And so it's like when you talk about this, and I've been through this with both my parents, lost my father quickly and my mother more slowly. It's been surprising to me about the gifts that come within the context of, you know, feeling this multitude of emotions. And you know, like with your father there, it was like I've been surprised at how many different things I've felt simultaneously, and it's kind of overwhelming because it feels to me like it's hard to connect with others about this. It's like if you're not in the midst of the grief, it's very, very difficult for others to understand it.
Well, I think this is, I mean, you raised something and that's important here. You know, my wife Susan and I have been through these last few years, a lot of losses, and both of my parents and her mother and our beloved dog Mira, and you know, I really feel about grief that this is one of the archetypes of living, is that if you love, you will know loss, but if you don't love, what's the point of being here? And the loss rearranges us. The loss like creates a new geography that we have to start discovering, a new map. And what I've come to understand too is that many people, this is where when we discover and what it really means to be a friend, what it really means to have compassion,
right?
Because you know, we lost a couple of friends during this time because they weren't able to journey with us in our grief. And what happens, I have a chapter in this book called Going Off the Deep End, where, you know, it's difficult, and yet this is the old choice between fear and love. You know, we've had people who would say, wow, it scares me, the level of grief you're in, but I'm here. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I can do. Tell me what I should do. But I'm here. And then you're in it together. Then you're in it together, discovering as you go. But when people out of their fear say, want to minimize your grief and say, well, you know, it's been XYZ amount of time, you should really be over this, or I wish things were back to normal, or
I wish you were the same person you used to be.
And all of that is really not being honest about their own humanity, which is to say, I don't have a clue what to do here, but I'm here.
Well, I think that so many of us are afraid of our own deep vulnerabilities that it can make it difficult to be fully present, which I think is the greatest gift you can give another human being, is to be present. But it makes it difficult because if they are experiencing the depths of despair, if they are feeling incredibly vulnerable, then on some level we have to be comfortable enough in our vulnerability and in our own pain to be present.
Well, I absolutely, and I think this is where, in terms of our education, our emotional education, our education of spirit, is the trust and belief that, you know, our heart and our spirit are larger than any one feeling, no matter how difficult. And there is no transformation without vulnerability.
Right.
There isn't. And so, you know, the trust that, you know, the people who helped me through my cancer journey years ago, who loved me, and I'm so grateful. Well, once we get into this space of being honest and being there for each other, there were times we didn't know who was ill and who was well. And there were times that I needed to hold them up, because when you love someone in real time, in real life, whether it's going through cancer or through, and this is the other thing I think I've discovered, is that it doesn't matter what drops you into the depths of life. There's nobody's place to judge, oh, you're grieving a dog. Well, it was just the dog. Oh, you didn't get that job you wanted. It was just the job, or any of those. It's like it's no one's place to judge what crack in the universe is going to open you up.
Yeah.
What it's our job to just say, are you coming along or not?
Uh-huh. And yeah. It reminds me of a story when my oldest son was about 3. And we were in the mall, and he had a balloon that he'd gotten from some store. And all of a sudden, he accidentally let go of the balloon, and it flew up to the ceiling. And he cried and cried and cried over the loss of that balloon. So being, you know, a little ignorant at that point, I thought, well, let's go get another balloon, right? And so we got another balloon, and he was still sort of grieving over the balloon that had been lost. And interestingly enough, when we got the balloon home, it popped, and he was grieving more. And I realized he's, you know, basically stepping into his human grief, and it's actually a very good exercise for him. And so we turned it into a little book and took the pieces of the balloon. But it seems like from a very early stage that it's just an integral part of our human experience.
Oh, that's a wonderful story, and I think that's a great example that we are given countless opportunities to rehearse being human.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there he had this wonderful opportunity to rehearse loss and grief. And it doesn't matter that it was a balloon, because he was in the journey, even at that age.
Right.
I think that's amazing. That's wonderful.
We have to go to another quick break, but more in just a few moments.
We are made of all this water ever flowing from the well. We're no orphans here, we're the sons and daughters of life dreaming of herself. But we came the long way down from the mountain to the plain. Now we are resting.
Get into it for 2016. Do you want more prosperity, clarity, energy, and balance in your life? Join Lynn Brown now for one of her amazing workshops, each focusing on a key part of living your best life. For more information and to register for one of these amazing workshops, visit lynnbrownevent.com. That's lynnbrownevent.com. And get into it this 2016 with Lynn Brown.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Are you sick of feeling overworked with no motivation? Take a break from the daily grind. Life coach Nicole Eisler is here to provide a healing journey of optimism. Passionate and caring, Nicole is no ordinary soul. Her dedication to helping everyone has no limit. Witness the power of positivity. Tune in every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific for Positivity Party Radio with Nicole Eisler on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit BigDreamAwakening.com.
To remember how to surrender to the rain. I was young and filled with wonder when I felt it start to fade. All my innocence saw the boy I was soon about to slip away.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, 35 stations in Australia, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a wonderful conversation today with Mark Nepo, who is the author of, I think it's 18 books now. His latest book is called The One Life We're Given, Finding the Wisdom That Waits in Your Heart. And I've got some great news for people in the Seattle area, I believe New York as well, about Mark coming to town. We're going to wait and talk about that a little later. Oh, gosh, Mark, you know, there's such depth to your teaching, and it's such a complex process of stepping into our wholeness. I know that for me, I personally, you know, thought to be successful, this is the direction I need to go, and, you know, I'm a former research statistician. I ended up having the early stages of cancer, changing my life, exploring different things. Long story short, life took me another direction. What is success, and is it appropriate that we take effort stepping into ourselves?
Yeah, those are great questions, and so I can, you know, just speak to them a little bit about, you know, I think that we have a very kind of, actually very infantile sense of success and failure. You know, we tend to think that if we get what we want, we're successful, and if we don't, we're a failure.
Right.
And that's pretty much that's a pretty childish way of looking at things. And yet, we're all taught that you know, you set out for what you want. And I've done that. You know, early in my life too. But what my relationship to dreams and goals and ambitions. I think we need those in order, but they're not. I think we tend to enshrine them. Like, because I see something and I want to work toward it, I think that's where I'm going. And often I have found that our dreams and goals and ambitions are kindling for the fire of aliveness. They are things we work toward for work we can't even see or imagine until we get there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that, like, I have been blessed to write many books, and largely a lot of that is because I finally, years ago, accepted that I need to write about what I need to learn, not what I need mm-hmm. to know. And
right.
If I only wrote what I knew about, I would have written very little. But not one of the books I've written is the book I started.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I think it's a similar, you know, thing that we work and we learn, and then life, you know, what we talked about this at the break, but what's in the way is the way.
Mm-hmm.
And we often, you know, because I love the Hindu notion of that their deity Ganesh or Ganesha, who is the provider and remover of obstacles.
Uh-huh.
We in the
provider of obstacles too, huh?
Yes. So in the Western traditions, and the more, you know, in the Judeo-Christian traditions, we have saints and people that we pray to get us out of trouble. But mm-hmm. in the Hindu tradition, Ganesh provides the obstacles, and so there's an assumption that obstacles are teachers,
mm-hmm.
and they're in our way, so we learn and grow, and then once we've learned what it is we're to learn, they are removed, or we discover that they weren't obstacles in the first place, but it was our way of seeing that was the obstacle.
Oh, I like that.
That's a whole different thing, And so I think that, you know, a lot of this latest book is about the relationship between effort and grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we are led to inhabit our wholeness. And that's really what the soul, I think, wants.
Yes.
Is to, and so I've come to believe that the awakening of our soul is our career. Where that happens is our occupation.
Oh, and so how do you define success? How do you define success within the context of that?
For me, success is any moment of full living that allows us to inhabit oneness and connection mm-hmm. with all of life. And we come in and out of that, but when we trip into, so that means that eternity is not an endless stacking of years, one on top of each other forever.
Uh-huh.
Eternity is like that drop of clear water in the center of the lake that ripples out. Eternity is the moment, like when that moment with my father, when I was feeding him applesauce and I tripped.
Right.
Into the moment of feeling everyone who ever fed a dying parent, that was a moment of eternity. That was a moment of whole living. That was successfully being a whole human being for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
For a moment. And, of course, there are lots of things that we need to do in the world and lots of ways that we need to be and provide, and we have this innate impulse in us to build and repair, and
mm-hmm.
And in the Jewish tradition is a phrase, tikkun olam, which means repair the world, that we are here to repair the world. And of course, since we are the world, the first thing we have to do is repair ourselves.
Right. So what do you recommend people do to sort of cultivate the practice of stepping into our wholeness? To repair ourselves and therefore the world?
Well, I think that, you know, this will sound very simple, and yet it's really difficult to do. And I think that we are asked, first off, because I don't personally believe in an arrived state of enlightenment. I feel mm-hmm. being human, we fall down and we get up. And, you know, my eyes are blinking as I'm talking to you. We're asleep and then we're awake and we're sensitive and then we're clumsy. And so mm-hmm. I think that each person is challenged to develop their own inner practice of return so that when we lose trust, we restore trust. When mm-hmm. we fall into fear, we know how to find safety. when we feel unloved, we know how to be loving nonetheless. And so this is very personal for everyone, what this looks like. And so I think some of the things that are very eternal and that we can return to that are sound so simple, but one is just, you know, being present, holding nothing back. Fear and worry and pain, anxiety, these things introduce themselves by pushing us away.
Uh-huh.
But it's our challenge and courage and choice to lean back in. So we are challenged always when we're pushed away to be present again, to lean in and hold nothing back. Mm-hmm. And so how do we do that? Well, there are two ways of being that have never failed in the history of life.
And what are they?
They are holding and listening.
What do you mean by holding?
I mean physically, emotionally, mentally, be holding, you know, embracing. You know, the word appreciate literally means to move toward what is precious.
Mm.
So how do we hold and behold, and how do we let ourselves be held and be held?
Oh, yeah.
And similarly, listening. We live in such a world, especially now you can see with the election, it's hyped with the 24/7,
right.
Where, oh my God, you know, there isn't a moment of listening. There's just talk. And, you know, the truth is, and we do this all the time in our daily, you know, we're at a party, and we don't even do it without meaning harm, but we're at a party, you and I are at a party, let's say, and you tell me a story, like the wonderful story you told me about your son with the balloon. And so there's a part of me that is moved, and now I'm going inside looking through all my story file for what story I can share now with you.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I start going into the file, I'm not listening.
Right.
I'm not present. And now I'm disconnected. So I can honestly say that there has never been a time that I have been held or that I've held that hasn't restored me. And there has never been a time that I have not listened or been listened to that hasn't brought me more alive. Even when the things I'm listening to or holding are difficult, like grief and loss, like we were talking about before.
Right. Yeah.
So how can people who are listening, how can you personalize your own practice of holding and listening and being present? Because these tools, these spiritual tools, are always available for us to inhabit, not pick up, but to inhabit. And they will always restore us beyond whatever problem solving we try to do.
Yeah. And I think that the paradox is we can't step into it with the purpose of getting to the other side.
Right.
Of being restored.
And the truth is that there's nothing to do and nowhere to go.
Uh-huh.
We're always led back to here. You know, the truth is, and this is a paradox because, you know, there is no there.
Uh-huh.
There's only here. Now, of course, in the surface world, I just came back from teaching in Santa Barbara last week. So I traveled to a there, but, you know, the paradox is, you know, I landed there to talk about here.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, Benny, I think we're going to skip the next break. We're in wonderful conversation here. So, okay, we're just going to continue to roll here. You know, Mark, I love your work. I love how you articulate these things that seem rather ethereal, seem difficult to grasp, seem very difficult to apply in some sense, and yet
you're communicating it well, you're living it well through, and you share many examples. And I know that you've got some events coming up. Let's talk about your New York City event, September 8th.
Thank you. Yeah, I've got around the new book the next 3 weeks, actually. I have three wonderful events to be with folks. So next Thursday in New York City, in ABC Carpet and Home, which sounds like a strange place to have a reading, but the people who run it are so wonderful, and they are committed to this kind of conversation. So they have a wonderful kind of salon where many people, it's the home base for Deepak Chopra, and Oprah has spoken there, and it's a wonderful setting. So I'm going to be doing an evening that's a celebration of publication event for the new book, which will be a reading and a conversation next Thursday. And all these things are on my website and are around. And then the following week, the 16th to 18th, I will be at the Sophia Institute, which is in Charleston, South Carolina. And this is a wonderful urban retreat center. And I think it's the 10th year I've gone there. They're just lovely people. Yeah. And so I'll also be doing a weekend workshop based on the new book. And then the 24th and 5th, I'll be in Seattle at the Seattle Town Hall, where Sounds True is wonderfully sponsoring this workshop. And this workshop will be based on the new book and on the book Inside the Miracle that came out last year with Sounds True, which is all about healing and wholeness and suffering. And the workshop is really, the weekend is really focused on making sense of our experience, the hard work of resilience. And one of the things, Christine, that I try to do with when I'm with folks is I feel like my job is to open up a heart space that we can walk into together and to try to help people be more in touch with their own gifts and their own wisdom.
Right.
And so it's a very experiential, journey through stories and metaphors and poems that open up issues like we've been talking about, and then time to reflect and journal and be in conversation in small groups and in large groups around where does this live in your own life? Because I've really learned through my years of teaching that things are only abstract if we don't personalize them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everything personal in some sense?
Absolutely. And it's through, just as DNA holds, encodes all of life, it's through our personal feelings and honest authenticity that we encode all of life. And so that's why the life of healing is so important, because it's not just self-centered, it's universe-centered when we inhabit it authentically.
Right. And I do want to share with our listeners your website so they can, click on these events and get registered. So it's marknepo.com, right? MarkNepo.com. That's MarkNepo.
And there's a sister site, 3intentions.com, which also has all of these lists. That's spelled out, the word 3intentions as one word. And, yeah, it's right on the homepage, some of these upcoming events, if folks are able and interested. And I'd love to journey together.
Yeah, and I'm so excited you're coming to Seattle, which is my hometown. And I'm sure you're going to get a great turnout, because those of us in the Seattle area really are thirsty for transformation, and it's that's what you're teaching us. It's about transformation, not just to improve our lives, but to step into who we are, which seems so important at this stage of the game. We have a tendency to want to avoid the suffering. We have a tendency to, try to find our way around the obstacles. I've been there, done that lots. I do that probably on a daily basis in one way or another. how do we come to this place of acceptance?
Well, I think that, you know, it's very, we all do this. I do it just because I can speak about it. I'm not, the reason I know so much about these things is because I have violated them so often. And I think that there's two things that you know, I would share. And one is about, this is where compassion and self-compassion, we're all human. Nobody likes this, but it's not like where, you know, I'm advocating suffering. It's more like describing gravity or erosion. It's spiritual erosion that, you know, the nature is eroded to its beauty. Well, we don't know if trees and mountains and rocks can speak, but if they did, I'm sure they wouldn't say that's their suffering.
Right.
I don't think they really like say, oh, this is a great process, you know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, thanks for coming to marvel at me while the ocean is pounding me into a cliff. But for human beings, you know, great love and great suffering is what erodes us to our inner beauty if we can hold each other up to it. And I think that life has been made just difficult enough that we need each other so it can ensure the journey of love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, the other thing is that it's very normal, you know, back in Assyrian times, 7,000 years ago, there's, you know, writings that say, you know, I just want the good things. Thank you. You can keep all the difficult things. So we've all, but life comes as a whole, whole.
Right.
And its resources and its healing comes as a whole. And while it's understandable to want to sort it out, it's like water. We know that water, we learn in you know, sixth grade or seventh grade, that water is made of hydrogen and oxygen.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can't say to you, even if you could, I can't say to you, well, I'd only like the hydrogen, please.
Right.
Even if you could separate it, it would no longer be water, and it would no longer be quenching or life-giving, and it's the same thing. But everything, the difficulty, the love, the beauty, the suffering, the confusion, the chaos, the harmony, they all come in the life of water. And as much as we, in our pain, would like to say, no, I just want the beauty. I just want the love. Even if we could separate it out, life would stop being resilient. It would lose its glow and its mystery and its incredible renewal. And so we have to hold each other up. And nobody knows how to do this, but we have to hold each other up to drink from the water of life.
And I love the fact that you're talking about the importance of connection, the importance of you know, relationship, the importance of reaching out to others. And I know you talk about that in your book as well. Gosh, we have got probably about a minute more before we have to start heading out. Do you have just like a brief nugget of wisdom you'd like to share before we end the show?
Well, I just based on what we've talked about, first of all, thank you so much. It's wonderful to be with you again.
My pleasure, Mark, always.
And you know, I think I have a poem that I can't recite exactly, but the essence of it is, if you want a true friend, admit you don't know anything.
Mm.
And give the person a chance to drop their mask and say, you know what, I don't know either.
Uh-huh.
And then we can begin a real journey together.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, that's really showing up, isn't it? So I want to remind everybody again, marknepo.com, MarkNepo.com. His latest book is another beautiful, insightful book that really triggers something deeply within me, and I'm sure it will you as well. It's called The One Life We're Given, Finding the Wisdom That Waits in Your Heart. Mark, I look forward to seeing you in Seattle, and I'm so grateful you've been here again, and I love what you're doing. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much. You be well.
And thank you, everybody, for joining us here today, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.StellarReflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.TransformationTalkRadio.com.